is it?
It's Thayer Thursday. Tom Thayer. 1985 Super Bowl champion and football analyst for the Chicago Bears.
Heat to win the division, get into the playoffs.
Former offensive lineman.
Do they need to get better? Do they need to give up less sacks? Yes, of course.
Tom Thayer. It's Thayer Thursday on Cap'n J-Hood, ESPN Chicago.
Good morning, Chicago, and welcome in to the Cap'n J-Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000, and we are streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. With David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you. It's draft day, and we got full coverage of the Bears in a draft right here on ESPN 1000 as we turn to the hotline.
That'd be the Car Rex Tire and Auto Hotline.
Rattle, rattle, thunder, clatter, boom, boom, boom.
We turn to Super Bowl champion. We turn to our friend Tom Thayer, part of the broadcast crew for the Bears Radio Network on draft day, and he joins us right here on Cap'n J-Hood. Tommy, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, J-Hood. How you doing?
We're doing great. Are you kidding me? You know how we're doing. It's draft day.
I know. Listen, I've been listening to every morning, but, you know, just in the last few mornings, the excitement's getting ramped up, and that motorcycle is getting ready to hit the end of the ramp and hopefully can stay in the air long enough to hit the other side of the ramp.
So before we get to what's going to happen tonight, when you got drafted out of Notre Dame, and Notre Dame was really freaking good back in those days, when you got drafted, you had signed with George Allen in the Chicago Blitz. How did you do that knowing the NFL drafts are on the corner and I'm actually pretty good?
Well, you know, Cap, back in the day when I was coming out of college, we had to go to three combines. We had to go to one in Tampa, one in Detroit, and one in Seattle. And so I had prepared for those combines like nothing else I've ever prepared for, because I knew that was the next hurdle in my journey to the NFL. And I went out there, and, you know, there was Dave Remington, and there was Jimbo Covert, and there was Bruce Matthews, and there was Chris Hinton. There was all these guys that were unbelievable offensive linemen that have gone on to have Hall of Fame careers. And when we got paired up in the different groups that we did and competed against at the combines, I was, you know, and the strength-wise, I was at the head of my class. Vertical jump, I was right up there. You know, so I came out of these three combines going, man, you know, I feel really confident about myself. And I was at the combine. There was an offensive guard named Dave Dreschler who was out of North Carolina. He ended up getting picked in the second round by the Green Bay Packers. And we were at Tampa, and we were getting ready to do 225, and I was giving him a liftoff. And he did like 2.5 to 3 reps. And I grabbed the bar, and I go, Dave, are you all right? And he goes, oh, heck, I'm not much of a weightlifter. And so I'm thinking, I'm in, man. And so then a couple of months later, I'm walking out of the weight room in Notre Dame, and there's a scout for the Bears named Jim Palmer, who's a heck of a guy. And I really grew to love the guy a lot. And he walked up to me and goes, hey, Tom, I got some good news for you. We had a mock draft yesterday, and we drafted you in the fourth round. And I go, fourth round? I go, that's a bunch of crap. I'm not going in the fourth round. A couple days before that, I drove my roommate Larry Moriarty to the Blitz facility because George Allen wanted to meet him, who ended up getting drafted by the Houston Oilers. But 2 days after I drove Larry to meet George Allen and Bruce Allen, George called my guy that was representing me and said, hey, we want to offer Tom a contract. And it's guaranteed personal service contract. You know, you'll get everything from this contract if the league stays or folds. And it was an opportunity I couldn't turn down. And I actually withdrew from school with a little bit of time remaining and went on, went to class on a Friday, signed my contract on a Saturday, went to practice on a Monday. And the next thing you know, I was starting against the Washington Federals the next week of the USFL season. So
wow.
It was a little bit of my own antagonism by saying I was going to be a fourth rounder when I thought higher of myself. But, you know,
What round did the Bears draft you in?
Fourth round.
And then they call you and say, we've just drafted you. Did they know you had already signed?
No. I had gone, you know, George Allen asked me in the weekend, he goes, don't say anything about signing because we would like to create a little turmoil on draft day. which was the Tuesday of that upcoming week. And so I had gone to the Blitz facility and made the announcement that I was signing a contract with the USFL, and those guys were so locked up in the war room with no outside communication, no cell phones at that time, that they, Jim Finks went to the podium and picked me in the fourth round, and the media started giggling, and they said, hey, he just signed down the road with the Blitz of the USFL. And luckily for me and for them, they had my rights for 4 years once they chose me, and I only had a three-year contract. So in the middle of my third year in the USFL, I already started negotiating with the Bears to be signed, sealed, and delivered. And the last game of my USFL career was on a Saturday night in Arizona. I went from the locker room to my car and drove from Arizona to Madison, Wisconsin. I bought a scooter. I drove it to Platteville, and I started full pad practice on that Monday.
Oh, my. That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It was awesome, though, man. I would do it all over again. I wanted to stay in Chicago because I wanted to stay close to my family, and I got the best of both worlds of, you know, being a part of George Allen, and who George took it upon himself to teach me more about football than I learned up until that point. And so he really did me a great service.
Tommy, when you take a look at this draft, as we talked to Tom Thayer with us here on Cap and Jay Hood, when you look at this draft and look at the depth chart for the Bears, what's the biggest need to you for this Bears team that they need to address today?
You know, Jay Hood, our outside of Caleb, let's take that, yeah. He's coming here. So you listen to the introduction that you guys put together at the beginning of our time together. And do they need to win the division? Yes. Do they need to give up less sacks? Yes. Inside the division last year, they gave up 22 sacks. They only got 9 sacks. And so if you want to think of one way that you're going to help yourself the most in winning the division, it's going to be better on the lines of scrimmage. Now, where do you think that is? Is it a Byron Murphy on the inside, or is it Fasuana, the tackle from Penn State? So, because I think Joe Walt's going to be gone. So, to me, I think as great as Caleb Williams has the opportunity to be for a long period of time, you better make sure that your offense and defensive lines are up to Super Bowl caliber winning defensive lines. And look at those lines over the last couple of years, whether you want to talk about Jones from Kansas City, Aaron Donald from the Rams, or whomever you want to talk about. Because to me, as nice as it would be, the Malik Nabers, 4.35, 40, and all these other, you know, Dallas Turner and Jared Verse and all that, I just think you got to pay attention to the lines of scrimmage.
So you say Joe Alt won't be there. We keep hearing J.C. Latham's name from Alabama. Multiple, like, really informed mocks have him going 5th to the Chargers. So if Alt was on the board, Dallas Turner's on the board, Byron Murphy's on the board, where are you going?
Alt.
Yeah, me too.
If Alt's there, he's my number one guy. If I said, okay, I got 3 guys in mind at the number 9 pick, and if one of those guys are there, then I'm going to run to the stage, and I'm going to get him. And Alt would be number one. You know, the thing about it is when you think about these guys that have a history of playing football, were they encouraged or discouraged from playing football throughout their life? And I know Joe Alt's dad. I know that he was a guy that was encouraged to take what his growth spurt was going to be and turn it into being a good football player. And you have that constant encouragement from inside your house that carries to the field. And he's that type of guy. I'm just a little bit nervous about a guy that was discouraged from playing football just because of the reputation it's gained over the last 20 years. So I want these guys that have made a lifetime out of it, and that's what their goals and that's what their dreams. And like I say, you know, Willy Wonka was one of my favorite movies of all time, and you know, football was my golden ticket, and I want these guys to assume the same.
Tom, when you take a look at this team, based on this offseason, what gives you hope that the Bears can elevate from 7 wins from last year?
I think some of the off-season conversation of Montez Sweat letting the locker room know the importance of winning important division games to get into the playoffs. Jalen Johnson, you know, having some homegrown talent signed to give the reflection to the players that if you go out and you compete at a high level, that you will be rewarded by Ryan Poles and his staff. As unpopular as it may have been at the time, the trade of Justin Fields just to clear the runway for Caleb to let him know that he has the position, he has the room, and this is the guy they're going to go into the future with. I liked the development of offenses by Shane Waldron, even though he's not a super high-profile guy yet. He's got that opportunity with the development of Caleb. Jay Hood, on that same note, I still have concerns about the interior of the offensive line. I need those guys to stabilize this thing, and I'm talking about Tevin and Nate Davis. I need those guys. You know, when Tevin came aboard, he was drafted, and all of a sudden he had a back issue. Nate Davis last year came in as a high-priced free agent and didn't play one snap of training camp. If you can bring in those two guys and have them be an interior stabilizing force with whomever's going to play center, I think that can help the team as much as any decision that they've been able to make in the offseason.
Yeah, I have also said that if Joe Alt's not going to be there, and I could get Marvin Harrison Jr., I'd be willing to move up in the draft. If they did that, do you think that's a mistake to give up draft capital to get a generational talent?
I don't think it is. You know, if you look at some of the interviews with Marvin Harrison Jr. and Marvin Harrison Sr., and you look at the importance of the sport in their life and the encouragement that his dad has, you know, put on he and his brother in order to keep playing at a high level to be productive. Yeah, I would like that. But, you know, there's a couple of other guys in the draft that if I didn't have to lose future draft capital, I would be okay with that as well. And like I said, you know, if you want speed like Malik Nabers can offer you, then, you know, that's a guy that has extreme explosiveness. Could you go down in one of the later rounds and get a guy like Worthy out of Texas that has so much speed awareness that he automatically has the defensive backs lining farther off the line of scrimmage and opens up some underneath territory for DJ Keenan and Cole?
I mean, boy, oh boy. Here's my problem with the wide receiver room. Hoodie and I have been talking about this because Keenan Allen's 31 turning 32. He's in the final year of his deal, and I got DJ Moore. That's it. I don't know what Tyler Scott's going to be. I don't think Velus Jones is the answer to that question. So I feel like it's a bigger need than people realize.
I've been listening to you guys, and I'm in 100% agreement. I think that you have to have a stable of receivers and, you know, from the fastest show on turf into, you know, the Redskins back in the mid-'80s to when Randy Moss and Chris Carter and a quality tight end was in Minnesota with a great running back. You know, all those types of weaponry can help your quarterback. So if that receiver is there and if Ryan Poles can go there and feels confident about all the investigative work that he's done on Marvin Harrison Jr., and it's worth giving up some of that draft collateral, hey, man, then do it. If you think that's the one piece that you need in order to get your team from 7 wins to winning the division, I'm all for it.
You know what, Tommy? I feel really good about this offseason. Before we even get to today, before the draft, just because of the flurry of movement that the Bears have made. How many off seasons have we gone through where it's, you have a cursory move here, you got a move there, but look at all the things that were shored up here, from free safety to running back to getting new offensive linemen. Look, I know activity doesn't mean accomplishment, but the point is that you can see Ryan Poles sees the holes that we see, and he's trying to plug those holes, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, you know, to Jay Hood, and throughout an off season, without us knowing a lot about the guys, you want to increase the competitiveness on paper that carries over to the field. And I think you've done that on positions like the offensive line, and I was mentioning the interior specifically, because they have to get better and they have to get tougher. and they have the ability to do that. And now you have to look at what's going to happen tonight with what's going to be offered to you at that number nine pick. And if it is one of those premier offensive tackles that you've designated to be a bona fide left tackle. I mean, I'm not experimenting here. I'm not taking a right tackle and see if I can move him over to left tackle. It's not going to happen. And if I don't have that left tackle that is high on my list, then I'm going to go start looking at the receiver position immediately, like you guys have brought up.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing. And other than January 26, 1986, when you won the Super Bowl, this for me tonight is the most exciting moment in Bears history in my lifetime.
I'm in agreement. I don't think I've ever watched a draft show, and I've been paying attention to the draft show since I've been a high school football player, and I've covered everyone since I've been a part of the Bears. And I watched them in anticipation when I played for the Bears and the nervousness of them picking an offensive guard within the first four rounds. So, you know, I think there's a lot that goes into tonight, and, you know, when Goodell gets up there and announce to open the draft. And I heard you say it yesterday, and I'm in agreement also. I want them to take time. You know, tell Caleb, look, we're going to pick you, but I want to open the phone lines that if anybody's interested in nine, that I give them the maximum amount of time to get a hold of me.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why, you know, if Goodell says, okay, Detroit, we're, Bears are on the clock, I'm not running up there in the first 60 seconds.
Right.
I'm going to take 8 or 9 minutes and say, okay, man, my cell phone's open. Who, anybody interested in nine? And, you know, put your shingle out and hope somebody calls.
We control the draft. We take our time. We strut up there when our time is almost up. That's how we do it. We're the Bears, damn it. That's how that works, Tom.
That's right, J-Hood.
That's exactly right. Take your time.
We'll see you tonight. I'll see you at Soldier Field.
I look forward to it. So you get there early.
Be ready to go.
See you, boys.
See ya. Tom Thayer is with us. He'll be part of the coverage tonight, by the way. Bears Weekly at 6, followed by Joniak and Thayer together reviewing the draft. And he was on the hotline.
The CarX Tire and Auto Hotline.
Rattle, rattle, thunder, clatter, boom, boom, boom.
This portion of Cap and Jay Hood is brought to you by
Deal Breakers, brought to you by Affinity Whole Health and FeelGreatIllinois.com. For more energy, more drive, increased libido, go to FeelGreatIllinois.com.
An NFL expert weighs in on what the Bears can expect from Caleb Williams. And still to come, some thoughts about the new stadium coming to Soldier Field in the area.
There is.
We will discuss it on the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show.
Welcome back to Cap and J-Hood on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
It's draft day.
We were hired to break a cycle. I really believe we're about to break this cycle and get this city in a really good situation.
With the first pick in the NFL draft, the Chicago Bears select.
It's draft day.
I dream to just be my best, being number one, being the best in the world, and winning.
It's draft day.
It's a great situation. He has 2,000-yard receivers. He has an improved offensive line. Defensive stars on the other side of the ball where he doesn't have to put everything on his shoulders. He has a 1,000-yard rusher. This is arguably one of the best situations a young quarterback can ever ask to go in because he's not going to be asked to do a lot.
It's draft day.
Now that I want to play at one place for 20 years and chase one guy, number 12, I want a place that loves ball. You know, that's all I've heard about Chicago so far.
Are you ready?
It's draft day on ESPN Chicago.
Oh.
That's what it's all about. Caleb Williams, Chicago Bear, will find out tonight with the number one pick in the draft, and then we'll find out what the Bears do at 9. But draft day is here, and we're talking about it on the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. 312-332-3776 is our telephone number. It's happening. It's all here, Cap. We've seen redos. We've seen coaching changes. We've seen some top draft picks. We've seen must-haves. They've come and go, but it's different this time because the Bears are starting from scratch. Here's a home. We're going to start from the beginning and build the home the way we want to build the home. Not just saying put some spackle on it, maybe a fresh accent wall. No, no, no. You're starting from the bottom, and now we're here. Here's David Kaplan.
And tonight, when the commissioner goes to the podium, and you hear the little jingle and the whole deal.
Uh-huh.
And there it is. And he says, with the first pick in the 2024 NFL draft, the Chicago Bears select. At that moment, freeze your mind. At that moment, just for a click. Oh, God. Blank's about to get real. We are getting the number one guy. And it's not just, I used this analogy earlier, it's not like Baker Mayfield. Good player. He's just another quarterback. We're getting, like, the guy, the dude. And hopefully we develop and support him properly. Develop him so that he is a perennial all-pro candidate. And all of a sudden, this city will be on fire every Sunday.
Caleb Williams, a Bear.
I think he's going to another big city. I've heard that they love football, so if that's the place, I'm excited for that. The fans love football. It's one of the, you know, biggest things that I care about is a place that cares. You know, if that was the place, I'd be excited and you know, get ready to go win games is what I'm excited for. Most importantly, I'm caring about football, whether it's the fans, the organization, my teammates, myself. Caring about ball games and winning ball games is the most important thing.
I'm not a businessman. I'm a businessman.
Makes you feel good. So I mimic my game after, you know, it's like the
Kobe MJ.
It's like the Kobe MJ kind of thing where you know, you watch and you mimic and you know, okay, I'm going to go try this while I'm training. I'm going to go try this, the little foot pop. I'm going to try this, you know, throwing my body this way and throwing it back over my head this way, and like he did versus the Vikings in between, you know, 2-3 guys with a D in his face and things like that. So when I was like his second year in the league, third year in the league, so just, you know, trying things like that at a young age, trying things that Patrick Mahomes does, trying things that, you know, Tom Brady does, watching Tom Brady, and you can see in his eyes, like, okay, this is a switch that happened when, you know. So it's like I said, sitting back, watching, learning, taking in, you know, what I can take in and adapt to my game in my best way possible and make it my own.
His comparisons to Rodgers and Mahomes. And again, I throw that out, Cap, because I just want Caleb Williams to be the best Caleb Williams.
Correct.
That's what I want.
Correct. But that's what people in our industry do. What does he remind you of? What kind of a player is he? Whether it is a pitcher. Who does he throw like? Well, he's Kyle Hendricks, he throws like Greg Maddux. Or he's Garrett Crochet, he throws like Chris Sale. Or he's a quarterback and he plays like Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes. He's more of a gambler than Rodgers, more Mahomes-like. But he slides in the pocket like Rodgers to extend plays. But he doesn't run like Lamar Jackson or Justin Fields. But he has the ability to do it.
Just want him to be able to be part of this road that the Bears are going on right now in a big way.
I keep telling you, I cannot wait until Saturday. Like, I'm enjoying the whole day.
Yeah.
Go work out, get some lunch, hang out. And then like, when it gets to 6:30, like, oh, God. All right, let's go.
That's it.
So I'm going to have Kevin Byard with me at the Ticketmaster Plaza at Soldier Field inside Gate O. I'm going to have Tremaine Edmonds, and I'm going to have Patrick Scales. And they're going to react either, I think it's one interview is before the draft at 6:30 to 7, and then it starts, and we have a 30-minute break while the first pick and all the hoopla that goes with it. But there's going to be hundreds of people in front of the stage, and the big monitors are up. And when the pick is in, dude, it's about to go crazy.
Yes, exactly right. Kevin Byard joins us here at Soldier Field. Kevin, I noticed there's 3 slashes after your last name. What's that all about? I'm Kevin Byard the 3rd. Oh, pretty good, kid. 3 of you guys. Are they here? Then I got to take you out of there. All right, Cap, that'll be all.
That'll be all.
Joel in Homewood on Cap and J Hood. Joel, good morning.
Good morning. How you guys doing?
Very awesome, man.
Are you excited?
Phenomenal.
Hold on a second, Joel. Chris in Clarksburg, West Virginia on the ESPN Chicago app. Hey, Chris. Chris.
Yeah, hey, how's it going, fellas?
Good,
say
man.
Hi to Joel.
Say hello to Joel.
Hello.
All right. You start, Joel. Give Chris your thoughts about the draft.
I'm very excited for the draft today. We are about to bear witness to history today.
Bear witness.
Let me say this slowly so it sinks in. The Bears are drafting a potentially generational quarterback. Let me move on and address the ninth pick. In my opinion, the Bears should continue to build in the trenches. I like a move back and take Jared Verse, Byron Murphy, or Olu. And history has shown moving having two good defensive ends or tackle leads to number one defense. Example, Carl Banks, Lawrence Taylor, Von Miller, Bradley Chubb. And then maybe with the 75th pick, we could take Rice. And a side note, compare Brock Byers
Joel.
To Mike Allstott.
All right, Joel, slow down for a second because we got to get Chris in here to respond. Chris, what do you think of Joel's scenario?
I can go with that. It's kind of the opposite from what I was thinking. But
what were you thinking? Tell us about
more
it.
It was more of a mindset. Well, thank you, guys. I really appreciate what you do. It's even though I don't agree with you all the time.
That'd be boring
really
if you did.
It, so I appreciate that. But so I like the idea of trading back at number nine, especially if one of the wide receivers aren't on the board. But I'm looking to Tom Thayer's point. If we can pick up a substantial pick in the second round. I'm kind of a homer for this pick, but I would love to get Zach Frazier to solidify that center position because I think that's really the weakest part of the offensive line. And then whatever extra picks we can get besides that is a bonus.
What do you think of that, Joel?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just all about the trenches. I mean, I think that we could still get a potentially great wide receiver in the third round. I mean, you know, if you want to build around Caleb Williams and bring in some familiar faces, I think Brendan Rice would be great, or either Olu to build the trenches up. And, I mean, obviously, if you look back in history, Aaron Rodgers had a great offensive line. You know, Cowboys always have a great offensive line, and I just think that is the way to go.
All right. Joel and Chris, we appreciate your telephone call. All right, 312-332-3776, our phone number. This is going to be great tonight, isn't it, Eddie? It's going to be great.
Yeah. I heard the same thing about Justin Fields when he got drafted.
No, you did not. Stop that. He went 11th. He was the fourth quarterback picked. Stop. You did not hear that. We liked him. We were glad he was our guy. You never heard him talk reverentially like Caleb Williams. You're better than that, Eddie.
What's going on with the Bears' new stadium? We address it coming up next on Cap and J-Hood.
Take that.
Here's today's headlines with Cap and J-Hood.
Oh. Cap and J-Hood show brought to you by the Village of Bolingbrook. Elevate your business at bbolingbrook.com. That's bbolingbrook.com. White Sox lost to the Twins last night in Minneapolis, their sixth straight L. They fall to 3-21 on the season. Garrett Crochet roughed up for the third straight start, allowing five runs over four innings, raising his ERA to a bloated 6.37 on the season. Sox and Twins 12-10 on ESPN 1000, 11:30, the pregame. Despite missing Cody Bellinger with fractured ribs, who's gone for 4 to 6 weeks, Cubs grabbed a 4-3 win over the Astros at Wrigley Field to take the first two in the series. Jameson Taillon, outstanding again, allowed one earned run over 5 2/3 innings. Cubs wrap up their series with Houston today at 1:20, and Pete Crow Armstrong recalled from AAA Iowa in place of Bellinger. And the Bears unveiled their renderings for a new lakefront stadium yesterday. Plan calls for $3.2 billion in costs for the stadium, additionally $1.5 billion in infrastructure costs. Jay Moore.
Cap and Jay Hood are back.
We are back, baby. We are back. Classic.
On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel, youtube.com. Look for ESPN Chicago because we got coverage all day of the Bears draft here on the home of the Bears, ESPN 1000. Greeny, followed by White Sox baseball, the Sox and Twins. Then it's Waddle and Sylvie, 3-6, Bears Weekly with Joniak and Thayer, right into our draft coverage right here on ESPN 1000. And you just mentioned the headlines, Cap. The Chicago Bears stood with Mayor Brandon Johnson at Soldier Field yesterday to launch their public push for a dome stadium.
on the lakefront. As you mentioned, $5 billion. So $3.2 billion, the estimated price tag of the stadium itself. And then $1.5 billion for unspecified infrastructure. So there was a lot that we heard yesterday from both Mayor Johnson as well as Kevin Warren, head of the Chicago Bears. So Warren was on Waddle and Sylvie yesterday and talked about a number of things. First of all, the timetable on the stadium.
2025 needs to be the target because it's about 36 months from the time we put a shovel in the ground. And if we're in the ground in 2025, we can get people to work, and then we can kick off in our stadium in 2028. I mean, every year this goes by, it's hundreds of millions of dollars. And you just look at the escalation of costs. I mean, when we built, you know, U.S. Bank Stadium, you know, we were talking about $1.1, $1.2 billion. And that seems like a long time ago, you know, 8 years ago, but it's not really that that long ago. These things, these projects are expensive. Mm-hmm. And so I just think the time is, we don't want to rush, but the time is for us to be really smart about it. And we need to become solution-based.
Governor Pritzker is not so sure.
Well, let me start out and say I'm a Bears fan. But, you know, before I became governor, I was a businessman, and I've tried to be a good steward of taxpayer dollars throughout my term in office. And as you know, I've been very active at attracting businesses to Illinois and helping companies in Illinois expand. So that's something that I do with, again, the role of a protector of the Illinois taxpayers' dollars in mind at all times. But I remain skeptical about this proposal, and I wonder whether it's a good deal for the taxpayers. It's early on, have not even heard the announcement today, but obviously read your reporting and others. But it's very important to me that with all that the state needs to accomplish, that, you know, we think about what the priorities are of the state. You know, here we stand talking about the Healthcare Protection Act. Later today, I'm going to be talking more about birth equity and helping to build birth centers in areas of the state where people don't have options for their for giving birth that are outside of hospitals, and that requires capital. There are a lot of priorities that the state has, and I'm not sure that this is among the highest priorities for taxpayers. So,
Governor Pritzker talking about the proposal rolled out there by Mayor Johnson and by the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, and there was another politician that spoke that said if this was put to a vote right now, it would fail miserably. I first of all, I believe it has to be on a ballot. It has to be a referendum. This cannot just be politicians jamming through something. I don't live in Cook County, so I don't think I'd get a vote on it, but you would.
Yeah.
Shea would, Jay Moore would, and I think all three of you would vote it down.
Yes.
And I don't think you're alone. I think it would fail, as Chris Welch, the majority in the state Senate, said. Yes, it would fail miserably. I'm all for the Bears getting a stadium if they pay for it. I'm all for the city, the state, whatever, helping on the infrastructure, 100%. Mm-hmm. Because the infrastructure is not only for them, it's for everybody. I'm cool with that. But you want to build a stadium for a $5-point-some-billion corporation, which is what the Bears are, they're going to have to do more than what they indicated they're doing yesterday, in my opinion.
Not to go too deep in the weeds in this, because that's not what we do. However, I learned at an early age when someone says no new taxes, that's usually not true. Taxes will always be around.
Right, so, the last time we heard that was the late George H.W. Bush. Read my lips, no new taxes.
Anytime you hear no new taxes, that means that the taxes you're already paying, it's going to be even more so. So the old tax is the new tax.
Correct.
It's still more that you're going to pay. That's the point.
Yeah, or it's going to the hotel tax, which affects the industry, all of it. And that money could go to help other things is what people are saying out there.
All I'm saying, Cap, is that you and I have been around politics for a long time. Even though you and I are diehard sports fans, we couldn't help it. It was at the dinner table. It was right there. There's a conversation at the table.
With our late parents.
When you had open discourse about these things.
Correct.
Without being divisive. Here's the point. The point is that when it comes to this, what I'm saying is that I'm all for the Bears to get a new stadium. And wherever it is, that's great because it's going to add jobs and all that kind of stuff. But the point is, though, is that if it comes down to me having to pay for it, that's going to be a mess. And that's going to be a mess. That's the whole thing I'm saying. Like, and I still believe Arlington Heights is in play. No matter what you saw in Chicago, I still believe that there's other sites that can be able to take care of the Chicago Bears in their new stadium. The rollout looked good. As Cap says, renderings never slump.
Renderings were beautiful. The Bears did a great job.
Yes. But the point
what did the renderings cost them? Yeah. $100,000?
Yeah. But the point is, though, is that it looks great, but who knows? What they're talking about is pie in the sky. Pie in the sky, because the Friends of the Park are still around. What do you think they thought about that yesterday? Where's their statement? Imagine what they think about all that. All that looks great, but maybe someplace else, but not there.
Friends of the Park was not on board. And here's my one question I would ask, and I don't know the answer to this, but when you put this presentation out there, why, A, did you feel like you had to do it the day before the draft? I thought that was a miss, A. B, did you bring it to Governor Pritzker first? See if he wanted to get on board? I don't believe that they did. It certainly doesn't sound like they did. Did you go to the majority leader and say, hey, your constituents, rather than him coming out and go, this would fail miserably, maybe we want to know what he's going to say first.
Oh, I think it's kind of like a kid trying to be able to get away with something without their parents knowing. That's exactly what that is. Do you understand the reference? It's the equivalent of, we know he's going to shoot it down because you hear what we said about Reinsdorf?
Right.
In the 78?
Yeah.
Like, there's no way that he's going to want this to be built, especially with public money.
Correct.
So let's put it up there now, even though there won't be support from Springfield on this.
Correct.
You know that because you already saw what he said about the Reinsdorf.
Jerry, and that was for less money. And then the Friends of the Park, I was watching ABC and Channel 5 last night, and both had statements from Friends of the Park where they said, This is moving way too quick, and we are not on board here.
Of course not. Of course not. That's why Arlington Heights and other places I still think are in play. Warren will get his new stadium, but will it be in that same location as Soldier Field? I don't think that's a shot in hell.
The other problem I had with it is, and again, renderings are beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
There's no tailgating.
Nope. But you could sit outside and watch a big screen.
Did they not go to Kansas City where the Chiefs have insane tailgating or some of these amazing college state? Tailgating's a big deal.
Yes, it is.
I thought that was a miss. Major miss.
Rendering 1.0. There'll be a 2.0 and 3.0 because you can't have the same rendering. You have to have a different video for different suburbs, Cap. Because you have to be able to edit that video.
Right. That's why I think Arlington Heights is still in play.
It's still in play.
We'll see.
Yeah, still
we'll
in play. Cap'n J. Hood Cut of the Day is next on Chicago's Home for Sports.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago. Cap'n J. Hood are back on Chicago's Home for Sports. ESPN Chicago.
Now time for the classic Cap'n J. Hood Cut of the Day.
Brought to you by Chicago Cut Steakhouse. My friend David Flom, my friend Matt Moore have cooked up an amazing restaurant. How about today? Go this afternoon, get yourself the burger, the fries that they take 3 days to make. They're amazing. Have the burger, get yourself a cold beer, and get ready for the draft. That's a good afternoon. Jay Moore!
Yo!
Yes, it's boring, but it's a sport.
Oh!
Whatever.
Cut it.
It's not boring.
Okay, then you're boring.
All right, cut!
Here is Stan on ESPN 1000. Stan, good morning.
Stan late.
Good morning, guys. I apologize, first of all, for my voice. Anyways, Charles Davis, I've been pounding the table. What Charles Davis came on and said, everything he has said was bullseye, was right on. You know.
All right, Stan, take care of that voice, man,
for
okay?
For heaven's sake, getting upset.
Take care of the voice. God. It hurts just to form it.
I'm a pro wrestling fan. I've heard that all my life. Baron von Raschke.
Yeah, the Baron with the claw.
That's right.
And that's all you need to know.
This guy, Twitch, said, how did you get deep-throated to join the show? Nice work.
Wow. Doc Rivers, is that you?
Yeah, I've been pounding the table.
That's Bill Cartwright joining the show.
Pounding the table.
Let me tell you something, Crusher. When I get you at the International Amphitheater, I will put the claw on you. And that's all the people need to know.
Wow. I was actually waiting on him to say Hulkamaniacs. Yeah.
Let me tell you something, brother. Jared Verse is going to be the man. And when I get you in the garden, the bottom line is...
I've heard that all my life. He sounded good to me.
Wow.
And that's all, folks.
The Cap'n J-Hood cut of the day.
It's on Classic. LaSalle on the north side of the Chicago River. It's Chicago Cut Steakhouse. Lunch, dinner, special occasion, business meal. Just a great time with a friend or family. It's awesome.
Tonight's the night, buddy.
That's it, man. When we come in here tomorrow, Blake's about to get different.
We thank you for listening and calling in and joining us here on Cap'n J-Hood. Thanks to Shay and Jay Moore on the other side of the glass. Let's do it tomorrow for a Football Friday, you and I.
Let's do it, and it will be the greatest Football Friday we've ever hosted together.
All right, we'll talk to you tomorrow. So long, everybody.
Oh, let's go, Caleb!
From Chicago.
Take that.
Hey, Carl, good morning.
Hey, what's going on?